two words that I thought I'd never see next to each other in my lifetime. Preach, Helen. So as that's still a very unlikely happening, I'm just going to share some thoughts with you. So, welcome to my world. This reading is all about Jesus healing and the wholeness, in this case, comes through the forgiveness of sins. I call this section Raising the Roof for a very good reason. The definition of this phrase is to show great enthusiasm, to make a noise, to be visible and audible. I think I've pretty much got that down. The word has gone out. Jesus, the teacher and healer, has come to town. And the place he's at is quite small and packed to the rafters. Well, that's not surprising, as Jesus appeared today at the 20,000-seater O2 Arena, the people would be overflowing into the streets. Now, what faith and trust in God these four men showed in bringing their friend to Jesus. Their desire was so strong that the mass of people barring their entrance didn't stop them. There was no timidity, no refusal, no barrier, no inhibition that they couldn't scale in the drive to see their friend healed. In fact, it doesn't say, and we don't really know how many times they tried to get an avenue through to Jesus before they literally began raising the roof by tearing a hole in it. They'd realised an important truth, that hope without faith and action is just wishful thinking. So they came together and acted. As this guy, should we call him Guy? We don't have a name, let's call him Guy. Was lowered into the room, his eyes would have been focused on Jesus, the source of his healing, not on the people in the room, not those friends who were praying for him. This was his one-to-one time with his Saviour, just as it is during your time of laying on of hands. I've often wondered, on reading about this miracle in Mark and Luke, how the paralytic man was handling it all. Well, Jesus addressed him tenderly, so he might have been a younger man with his life blighted by this paralysis. At first he was told, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Great. Great thing. But now, Jesus is distracted. He's having to deal with those who are doubting his God-given power to forgive sins, and they are actually questioning his right to do this. Really? Today, of course, we present, as we know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. Meanwhile, our guy is lying there on his bed, still unable to move. What on earth must have been going through his mind then? Have you ever been in a highly charged situation where time stands still, when a second seems like an eternity, but your brain is racing? Yes? Yes, okay. He'd heard Jesus tell him that his sins are forgiven, not can, or will be if you do such and such. Just a simple statement of fact. So was he lying there trying to assimilate this wonderful thing? Was he calling to mind all his sins, recognising each one in an act of repentance? Or was the realisation beginning to dawn on him that he was still bedridden? He'd been brought to Jesus looking for deliverance from his situation, but he was still physically ill. So might his faith have been wavering a little? Was his hope failing? No, just a tad? Or was he just plain disappointed? I'm sure that we can understand how that might have been happening, for many of us set out to trust God for our healing and deliverance, but unfortunately, discouragement and fear soon take over. We've been praying for goodness sake, and nothing seems to be happening. I use the word seeing here, because when we pray, the Bible assures us that we are heard. So why is our situation not changing? Well, rest assured, have confidence. Although sometimes we're not aware of it, a change is taking place. A healing is coming about. Maybe not as we ask for it, but it is happening within us each time we reach out to him in faith. Never doubt that, for it's written and he says, I have heard your prayers and seen your tears. I will heal you. What power there is in those words. Okay, back to Guy, our friend Guy. We've heard that he had a home to go to, and we're not told his age. He might have been, as I said, a younger man. Have I just read that?
No.
No? Okay. For Jesus addressed him tenderly as son, as his own father called him. He had come before Jesus looking for a physical healing. But you see, Jesus knew that this man's needs were deeper seated than what was visible to the world or even to himself. He knew that those unforgiven sins festering within him were causing so much harm to his soul that they had to be dealt with first. Now, after teaching the skeptics and teachers of the law that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins because he is God, for the Father and he are one, he then demonstrates and underlines his God-given power by making it visible to all the people there. Turning back to him, he says, "Get up, take up your mat and go home." I love that. It's so matter of fact, isn't it? So natural, so normal for Jesus, just an everyday miraculous thing. As I believe, our healing will be for us. Not if. But that's a given. But when? That is our Lord's time, and he knows when we are ready. Right, now let's take a look at how important his friends were in all of this. Well, it took four unselfish people not putting themselves first and being united in their love for a fellow human being. It wouldn't have been easy to carry and lower this man on a mat, and definitely would have needed the four to do it. Three would have made it unstable, and for just two, the burden would have been too heavy. Now Jesus saw that they had made their faith visible by their action. He saw how they'd not given up on their friend, how they'd not given up on believing in the grace of God. Even though I sense that the paralytic man must have been ill for a while, they kept their burning desire for his healing alive by this mindset of faith. In Mark's chapter it says, Jesus saw this in them and they were blessed. I like to think that they were blessed tenfold, just as we are today when we obey God's teaching. Remember, bring just one to Jesus and you've got your place. Ooh, I like that. So what is the standout message from today's reading? For me, it's this. We should be as eager to be in the presence of Jesus as Guy and his four friends. People of faith should bring the sick to meet Christ, because in many cases, they simply cannot make it on their own. They need us to carry them for a while. And how much easier it is if we all carry a corner of the mat. What kind of friend are we being? How strong is our desire for them to be made whole? Here's a question posed by the definition given at the beginning of this talk. As a church, are we active in displaying our enthusiasm, making a noise, being audible, being visible Christians? That was just rhetorical, by the way, just something for you to ask yourselves. But what joy! Oh, what elation! Can you imagine the celebration as Guy returned to his home, rejoicing in the miracle he'd received? And don't you think that as his friends joined him, that all these things were on display? Of course they were. I so would have loved to have been invited to one party. As long as it was in the morning, I don't do nights very long. But what a party they must have had, praising the Lord and really raising the roof. Oh.